Hello once again, and welcome. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington, with the program that helps you learn and improve your American English. Listen to the show each day on the radio, or go on the internet and hear the program while you read along with us. We try to use words that are easy to understand, and we speak a little more slowly than normal so you can follow along. On today's program, a look back in time at a special group of immigrants who helped build America's strength. Then we will look ahead 6 months to the American congressional elections. Will the Republican Party gain seats in the House and Senate and make Democratic President Barack Obama's job harder? Or will Democrats turn out in large numbers to support their leader? Those two items are coming your way on As It Is from VOA. Next year marks the 150th anniversary of a time when large numbers of Chinese started working on a huge project in the United States. They helped build America's first transcontinental railroad, connecting the East Coast with the West. Very little is known about these Chinese railroad workers and what happened to them after the project was finished. Stanford University in California wants to learn more about the lives of these men by reaching out to their families. Pat Bodner tells us the story.
Two words, hopelessness and bravery, could very well describe what led the ancestors of Bill Yi to come to the United States.
I don't think I could do it, to come to a strange country and don't know a word of English. But I guess it's between eating or starving. I guess you have to do what you have to do for your family.
His ancestors came from southern China. They became part of an important event in American history.
My great-grandfather came over during the gold rush days, and he returned back to China as a wealthy man. And then my great-grandfather came over to work on the railroad. He came over to work with black powder and on the railroad, and he died working on the railroad.
But that did not stop his grandfather from coming to the U.S. on false papers. He operated a laundry, a service for cleaning clothing. Bill Yee's father continued to head the business.
Things were pretty bad in the southern part of China at that time. So they came to America at all costs.
Shelley Fisher Fishkin wants to hear stories like this.
The records of specific individuals and their names and experiences are so sparse.
Ms. Fishkin is helping to direct the Chinese Railroad Workers in North America project at Stanford University. She is working with experts in Asia to look for descendants of railroad workers on both continents to learn more about the lives of these men.
Many of the Chinese workers who came to work on the Transcontinental and other railroads returned to China after their work was done, created families there. Some of them had families who they left when they came here, and they may have descendants in China.
The goal is to create a digital record of old objects, documents, and spoken histories from the families of the railroad workers. Historians would then piece together the mystery of who they were and what happened to them.
And the U.S. could not have become the modern industrial nation that it did without the railroads. And the railroads would not have come together when they did without the crucial work of these Chinese workers.
Jonathan Wong's ancestor studied English and left China to work as a language assistant on the Transcontinental Railroad. He later brought his family to the United States, and they settled in San Francisco.
He kind of had a different experience than actually having to do labor. He wouldn't go home feeling that he was going to be in danger the next day. It was more of a closer relationship, obviously, with the white community and his white superiors. But obviously, I know that he was still treated as if he was the inferior minority.
Shelley Fisher Fishkin says it was part of a life as a Chinese railroad worker.
They suffered greatly from discrimination and from prejudice. They were paid less than their Euro-American workers.
Bill Yi wants his 6 children and 19 grandchildren to know their family history.
They had to appreciate the sacrifice that our grandparents did for us. Otherwise, I might be working in the rice fields now. So it really bring a big opportunity to this generation.
Through the Stanford University Project, the lives of these men can be remembered. This will help others more fully understand their part in American history. I'm Pat Bodner.
Here in the United States, congressional elections are less than 6 months away, and some Democratic Party activists are already worried about the election results. They believe Democratic voters will show less intensity than Republican Party voters in November. If that happens, fewer Democrats than Republicans will bother to vote. Mario Ritter takes an early look at the political likes and dislikes of Americans nationwide.
More Americans vote in presidential election years than in other years. 2014 is a non-presidential election year, and that concerns President Barack Obama and other Democrats. Republicans are hoping for voter dissatisfaction with the president and the nation's health care law, says political observer Charlie Cook.
In a presidential election year, the turnout is big, it's diverse, it looks more or less like the country. But in midterm elections, when the turnout is smaller, it's older, it's wider, it's more conservative, it's more Republican, it's just real different.
That presents a huge test for Democrats. Celinda Lake works for the Democratic Party. She studies information about likely voters. She says a huge issue for the Democrats is just who will be voting in November. She says the party is concerned about Latinos, African Americans, unmarried women, and young people who are dissatisfied with the economy. Republican candidates are expected to talk about the president and health care during the election campaign. John Boehner is the Speaker of the House of Representatives. He thinks the Republicans also have to talk about the economy.
You know, whenever I go around the country, I think it takes some audacity to call for greater cooperation amongst nations on the economy when they won't even focus on the jobs issues that we've got right here in America that need to be resolved.
Carlin Bowman studies politics for the Washington-based American Enterprise Institute. She says the Republicans are expected to hold their majority in the House. And she thinks they could make enough gains in the elections to retake the Senate.
These Senate contests are such high-stakes contests. The Republicans would desperately like to win control of the Senate and actually have a decent margin in the Senate in order to try to move some of their own issues along.
Americans will fill 36 of the 100 Senate seats and all 435 House seats in the November elections.
Thank you, Mario. And thanks also to Pat Bodner for helping out on today's program. There are more Learning English shows just seconds away, and world news follows at the beginning of every hour on VOA. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Come back tomorrow, okay?